WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
So my honorable mentions are, first one is going to be Miles Murphy. This is a guy who I think a lot of people have top five.
Wow.
He is not going to be in my top five, unfortunately. And that's mainly because of the 2022 season. It obviously he was a lot better in 2021, but he did decline pretty significantly in 2022. Just didn't really look like a top five edge prospect in 2022. Now that being said, there are reports that he played with a small injury through a lot of 2022. So obviously that's a factor. But even then, I really just don't see it. When I watch his film, I just don't really see a top five guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't really have some kind of elite speed of power or anything like all that. Right. It's just kind of, you know, nothing.
The honorable
really
mention type of guy.
Exactly. Yep. Honorable mention kind of guy.
Honorable mention type
precisely.
Of guy.
Precisely. But yeah.
He's just simply not as chiseled as our number one.
No, absolutely.
He's not.
Not even close.
Not even close. No,
and again, my second guy, you said him earlier, Will McDonald.
Yeah, he's a dog.
I'm a big fan of Will McDonald, man. Long arms, big guy. He was used terribly at Iowa State. And that's honestly a theme for a lot of these guys.
Yeah. I think the wrong scheme, like they would benefit from being
absolutely.
In a scheme. Like they might be, they could be top five if they were put in the right situation.
Exactly.
Well,
and
he
that's
had
the
back-to-back seasons with 10-plus sacks being used
exactly.
poorly. So. I think it showed more this last year with only 5 sacks.
Exactly. They ran all this 3-3 stuff, and they would condense the line. So he was playing in like a 3-4 technique
right.
every play. And he's just not built to be doing that. He's 241. He's too light to be playing on those interior guys. But
it is Iowa State.
Exactly.
That, you know, that's why they're Iowa State.
Well, I mean, it's Big 12 defense. Like, just doesn't exist. Right?
No.
Exactly. I also do think that you can make that argument for a lot of the guys on this list as to, like, they could have been so much. Even Will Anderson. I don't, like, he didn't do as much rushing against one-on-one against a tackle as I feel like he should have in his college career.
Is that
maybe
a
this past
of,
year?
Is that a product of double teams, maybe, because of how good his past season was?
It's based on where he is, like his role in the defense. Like, they put him on the inside a lot because he's a very talented run defender.
Yeah.
So I think they like to put him on the inside, kind of take his time, diagnose the play, and figure it out. But again,
they had him dropping in coverage a few times this
exactly.
year, which was
and it's just it doesn't make
crazy.
Sense.
That shades
crazy.
At the Steelers' defense, like dropping T.J. Watt into coverage,
right.
not really
it's,
like a good idea.
That's
exactly.
crazy.
And
let him do what he does best. Let him go get the quarterback.
Exactly. We'll get more into Will Anderson later. I'm sure we'll have plenty to say once we get to him. But here, I believe we should start our official ranking. Adrian, I believe you started first. Do you want to give us your five?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and start. Elliot kind of touched on a guy that I had five. I had Felix Ozuma. Last couple of years, he's recorded 19.5 sacks and 98 tackles. Crazy motor. Consistently. This guy consistently beats double teams.
Right.
One thing that I was really impressed with over his last couple of years, he has 8 forced fumbles. That'll work.
That's legit.
Last year, he had the best game of his career against TCU. This is 2 years, actually. He had a game with 4 sacks and 2 forced fumbles against TCU, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then this year he also had a forced fumble against TCU in the Big 12 championship, which is, you know, a big reason they end up winning the Big 12 championship.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked about, he had a good game against Alabama. Maybe not statistically, but if you watch the game, you would see him out there. So
right.
I think he'll be really good in the league.
Absolutely. That's definitely a guy to watch. He was very close to – again, this class is so deep, man.
Yeah,
it's so hard to rank everybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go more than 2 honorable mentions, but he absolutely would have been my third.
Yeah,
if I was.
Yeah, he's a really good player.
Absolutely,
for sure. So a little disclaimer before I start: the way that I did mine, I kind of based it off of the combine scores that they gave him with their performance rating and then also their athleticism rating.
Right.
So my number 5 was someone that Adrian already touched on. It was B.J. Ojulari.
Mm-hmm.
Dog.
Yeah, he's a dog. Yeah, you're completely right. A little bit of a down year in the sack department. Had 7 sacks in the previous season. This past season, he only had 5.5.
Right.
But he did also have only 1 forced fumble. So, like, not as much of a turnover machine as, let's say, like Felix Uzomah.
Yeah.
But still, certified dog. It's
absolutely.
Evident whenever he plays. He can disrupt a game if he needs to. And
absolutely.
So he just lands in my number 5 spot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's like... this might be unfair and, you know, a little biased, but
right.
anytime a guy plays in the SEC, it's like, I don't know.
I think they deserve a little bit more.
They deserve a little more because
absolutely.
Of the guys they're going against. I think a lot of NFL people scouts would agree with that.
Absolutely.
With that take.
I'm going to go ahead and go straight into my five because it is the same as Elliott's. I had B.J. Ojulari also at five. And I'm glad you bring up all the numbers and testing numbers because I don't exactly have those in front of me. But based off of his film, my favorite thing about B.J. Ojulari, one of the things I love to watch in football is edge rushers who have a deep bag of moves.
Yeah.
Those guys are so fun to watch. And B.J. Ojulari just – he has, at one point in college, succeeded with every kind of pass rushing move you can think of. And – so that makes him the most fun to watch for me. I'm assuming that'll only develop more as he keeps getting better as a player. Obviously, not quite the favorable size as an edge guy. 6'2", 248, just a little bit lighter than I think would be ideal.
Right.
But he's still young. That size kind of hurts the play strength a little bit. He's not pretty strong off the edge, but that's why.
And man, I don't think he'll wait, like, get much more. And maybe 260.
Yeah, max.
Like 260 max. I don't think he'll play much more than
Absolutely.
That.
I don't think he will. And again, for that same kind of reason, he's not a great run defender. But that being said, you know, there's a lot of guys who are just pure pass rushers.
Right.
And he's one of them. He has a deep bag. He's athletic. But yeah, my favorite thing about him is that deep bag of pass rush.
Yeah, he's definitely really good. And like I said, I had him, you know, as an honorable mention. I thought, kind of to go off that honorable mention, somebody you had, I believe, as an honorable mention was Miles Murphy.
Yes, sir.
This is kind of a ESPN like stat, but in all three of his seasons, he at least had 38 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks. So, you know, in my opinion, I think he's my little consistency. Every single season he's been there as a starter, he's been really good. Came out of high school, a big 5-star recruit. I'd say he lived up to his billing, given that, you know, he's probably more than likely going to be first-round pick.
Right.
Not to mention he also had six career forced fumbles. So, you know, get sacks, tackles for loss, forced fumbles. I think he's pretty good. I think he'll be good in the league.
Right. Yeah. Before we go to yours, since he was an honorable mention, can I give my reasonings why
you
didn't make my top five?
Because let's hear why you're wrong.
It's a somewhat.
Oh, okay.
You know what? Okay.
Whoa, it's getting
that's
hot.
Exactly what I'm going to do right now.
No, but on a real note, why so?
But I do think that when you're watching him, the tackling becomes subpar at some points. And that's a criticism of a lot of guys in this draft. Even Will Anderson, I think you can kind of make, if you're hunting criticisms, then the tackling is something you can look at. But anyway, outside of that, he is a solid run defender, but he's still not great. His awareness when he's playing isn't very good. He can easily lose the ball and just – he's talented at getting in the backfield, but there's a lot of times where he gets there and misses the tackle. Or he – even if he gets searched a little bit late, he loses where the ball is because he doesn't exactly have that elite football awareness that some of the other guys have, namely Will Anderson.
I will say I was high on him. Obviously, I think – for the guys that we haven't got to with the top three, I think, like we said, we're the top three. So four was as high as Miles Murphy possibly really could have been.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like you said, though, that this draft is deep at this position. I think 4 through 10, maybe even 4 through 12, is pretty close. Because I've seen some with
I would agree.
BJ or BJ Ojulari at like 10, which is like – and y'all both have him 5, and I have him in my top 6 or 7. So
right.
Yeah, I think it's very close, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is all subjective. I mean, it depends on what your team need is, who you like out of the whole crop, right?
So, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for the top three.
I think that's. I think for the most part, everyone has a top three. I have a sneaky suspicion that Mr. Elliott is not going to have the same top three.
We're still on four. I don't need to get slandered yet, okay? My number four is a little bit out of left field, okay? Everyone's going to laugh at me. You can get your little giggles out.
Go ahead.
Okay?
We're ready.
If anyone knows who this guy is, before he says his name, please find a way to contact me, and I will personally pay Elliott $5 if you know this man's name.
All right. Nick Herbig. That's my number four.
Please explain.
Okay, so he actually had the third best production score out of any edge rusher at the combine. And when you look at his stats, this guy, he's a bit of a sack machine.
Right.
Past two seasons had 11 and 9 respectively. And also 26%, this is from NFL.com, but they're saying roughly 26% of all of his tackles are tackles for a loss. Wow. That is crazy.
You said 26%?
26%.
Wow. That's wild.
So that is the definition of production. The main knock on him is a bit of an athletic thing. He needs to put on a little bit of weight. He's a little bit undersized.
How much does he weigh?
If I had to look up his weight.
I got you. He's 228. He's 6'2", 228.
228.
So he's,
That's light.
He's smaller than Ojulari.
He's smaller than Nolan Smith, man. I didn't think he got much smaller than Nolan Smith in this draft.
Well, but Nolan Smith plays a lot bigger than
he first.
He, absolutely, I would agree. But
he's got got 20 sacks and, you know, 3/4 fumbles in the last couple of years. So. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, he is the model of, like, production. But will he pan out due to his frame? I don't know. Like, there are some players that have been undersized. They put on some weight, and then they become really great. So hopefully, rooting for you, Nick, okay? You get right in my top five. Prove me right.
If you're listening, do it for Elliott.
I hope he does well. I mean, I'm scoping draft wire, and I don't see him in their top 20.
That's a crazy thing to say.
I'm not you know, knocking your pick. I think
the name comment before he even said it, so it's also not
surprised Nick Herbig didn't play for the Pittsburgh Panthers.
That's what I would have guessed, honestly, with his name.
But. Sounds like a guy from Pittsburgh.
If you want me to mention the Pitt Panther edge rusher, I will. He does rank number 30 out of 36, so, like, not
bad. Not bad at all.
Oh, man.
Who's your four, Tim?
My number four is going to be Mr. Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. This guy, it's obviously an upside kind of pick, but this guy is 6'5", 272.
That's crazy.
And you don't find that size very much in this draft class outside of a guy like Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
But 34-inch arms. He's 22 years old. Again, so elite size. He honestly has a good, really solid first step for his size. He has shown signs of having, like, a really dominant bull rush move. I was watching that Iowa-Ohio State game where it kind of felt like Ohio State may lose that game in the first half, but then completely killed him in the second. But he goes up against Paris Johnson a lot in that game, and Paris Johnson is a, you know, first-round talent tackle. And there's multiple times in that game where he kind of dominantly bull rushes Paris Johnson. And Paris Johnson is known as an athletic freak tackle.
Yeah.
So doing that means that you have the strength, speed, and size to do that at the next level.
That is impressive.
And obviously, pass rush moves are something that is a very coachable thing once you get to the next level. And this guy has all the tools to be able to do that once he reaches that point. But, yeah, the only thing's holding him back, he doesn't bend very well, which is something I look for a lot in my edge rushing guys. He does not bend well at all. And, again, maybe it's because he's 6'5", 270 pounds, but there are guys in the league that can bend like that at that size. But that's the main thing I have, again, along with the lack of pass rush moves and play IQ. But overall, though, I think he has a really good chance to be a freak at the next level.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good player. I mean, you made a good point because I'm pretty sure, is Johnson the number one tackle in this draft?
Let's sidebar real quick. Do you think that Johnson's the number one tackle in this draft?
He's not personally mine.
Who's yours?
Osiris Torrance. He's the Florida guy. Really good.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Really? You have a Torrance vibe?
I do.
I like Johnson. I haven't really dove into it. Like, I need to
I've looked a bit at the tackles. That's my team's in need right now. But,
yeah.
I mean, I'd say he's either one or two. So, I mean, good company.
Confident one. He's definitely my two.
Yeah.
He's behind Torrance.
Just to reiterate before break, I had Felix Ozuma and Miles Murphy, 5 and 4.
Right.
B.J. Ojulari and my boy Nick Herbig.
Nick Herbig.
And I had Mr. B.J. Ojulari along with Lucas Van Ness. Okay. Now that we've gotten those two, we're going to go ahead and go to break and be back with our top three. We'll see you guys in a second.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back once again to the student section. We're going to keep continuing our ranking of our edge rushers for this class. I believe, Adrian, are you due for your three?
Up. I'm in the batter's box. So
on the clock.
Baseball reference on opening day.
Baseball. Did you notice that? I'm
Go
glad
Braves.
You caught that.
I feel like you're going to milk that now.
No.
Like you came up with that beforehand.
No, I don't milk stuff, Jared.
Chop on.
Jared Wayne. So, three. I got Tyree Wilson. A lot of people might have him. Some people have him even number one, which I think is kind of wild. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
I'm sorry. I'm on my Okay, never mind. I apologize. Anyways, Tyree Wilson's 6'6", 275. We talked about later how, you know, he's a pretty big guy. Probably he's got to be the biggest pass rusher. 6'6", 275. Mm-hmm. I got a stat for you. He applied 19.16% of pressure on the quarterback during his pass rushes. For example, you know, that's more than Will Anderson had in 2021. That's more than Chase Young had, I want to say 2019, Myles Garrett in 2014, and Nick Bosa in 2017, which that's a crazy.
Yeah.
That, and I know it sounds wild to have, you know, saying that at number three, but right. Like I said, I think the top two guys are really, really good too. But
absolutely.
Yeah, Tyree Wilson, I think, will be really good in the NFL. And he, you know, he missed a couple games this year, so his percentage just might have been down, but still.
Right. I would like to apologize to everyone for making Adrian seem like his mic was off. I was raising my hand for the chop on for the Braves, but
that's okay. I didn't catch it. Go Bravos.
It's bad lighting in here, that's why. Anyway, moving on. Number three, Mr. Elliott Miller.
My number three is another undersized guy, Nolan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we had touched on a little bit on this during the break, so you, the listeners, did not get to hear this. But Nolan Smith, he's got the second best athleticism score out of anyone.
Right.
And we kind of touched on how he plays a lot stronger than he actually is, and that's what makes him so good.
Right.
I think the main concern right now, he had that injury. Right, so he is coming back off of like an injured pec.
Torus pec.
Torus pec. TJ Watt injury.
You said he's the second highest.
Yes.
Is that for DNs or for the whole class?
That is for the edges that were at the combine.
Really? Who was? Who
I wouldn't
was
be surprised
over
if it was
him
the whole class. No, it's.
Yeah, I would have thought that. Who was over him?
The one over him was actually.
Is this RAS? What
it was Zach Harrison.
Really? Wow.
Is this raw athletic score from the combine? Or
no,
is it just
that was just their. It was the. I don't think it was the RAS. It was a different athleticism grade that they had
gotcha.
Given him.
Okay.
So
yeah,
gotcha. That was like some aggregate of like what they did at the like their percentiles and stuff like
yeah.
that. I didn't really get into
because I think he had an argument for the best. For the best combine, probably for any position.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think he would earn himself the most money.
Probably. If he would have weighed in a little bit more, I think it would have helped. I think
yeah,
that was
yeah like we said, he's
combine.
Undersized. So he probably also, like Nick Herbig, has to put on maybe a little bit of weight.
Right.
Like he already plays strong. If he got stronger, he'd play even stronger, right?
Yeah.
Sky's the limit.
Nick Herbig, Wisconsin standout for anyone who's wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Man.
I'm done with Nick
Herbig. We will not make fun of anyone.
No more Nick Herbig jokes.
No more Nick Herbig jokes. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move into mine. My third was also Nolan Smith. Again, for a lot of the same reasons you explained, to be, even though he is liked, to be able to do what he can do at that size is ridiculous. Even though he's light for an edge, being 6'2", 238, and moving the way he does is just unreal. And obviously, I would be more concerned about the weight if he didn't play as strong as he does, like we've said. But I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but when I watch him play, sometimes he has such a fast first step and he moves so well that he almost beats guys on the line like a receiver. Like he'll slip past them, like he'll dip his shoulder and he'll slip past them like it's a press. It's unreal. It's just his quickness.
Dude, he's crazy. Like, he's really good.
He is so good. His quickness is...
I think of any... of these prospects, like that are edge guys, excuse me, he could probably play linebacker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
He's like a hybrid. Like, he could step out and I think he could drop in the coverage really better than any of the other guys.
Absolutely.
So you're saying he's like a Drew Sanders esque type?
Drew Sanders esque, yeah. Mm. No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, I, overall, he would be higher if he wasn't 238. And again, I do want to say that I don't think it's like a drastic takeaway from his game because he does play really strong. He's got a solid bull rush move, but again, it worries me just enough because I feel like when he's going to go up against, you know, these athletic freaks that the NFL has a tackle now, I feel like there's a really good chance that he gets locked up by those guys because his arms also aren't super long. They're 32 and a half, which
Trent Williams of the world,
exactly.
Yeah.
His arm, like 32 and a half, is generally about the cutoff for. And again, it's not for some edges, it's not a big deal. Doesn't matter. But for him, that combined with the weight makes it a little bit more worrisome, and I think he'll get locked up by some elite tackles. That's why he's the three.
Yeah.
But
is it kind of like the Bryce Young dilemma among the quarterback class, like how Bryce is a bit of the undersized guy?
Exactly. And in the same sense that some people will tell you it does matter, some people will tell you it does not.
Yep.
But I'm
just
worried enough about
who else was heavily scrutinized for being undersized?
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Donald.
he does not play edge. But
well, no,
so.
Yeah.
But he was still considered a tweener.
Yeah.
So like there were concerns about Aaron Donald coming out of the University of Pittsburgh, by the way.
I forgot he did play for Pitt.
Anyway, moving on.
Easily the best player to ever come out of Pitt. Right?
I think you forgot about Nathan Peterman.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with the Aaron Donald thing, but Aaron Donald is a
it's different.
He's just a bowling ball of a human being.
He is chiseled. That's the word.
Do you remember that play in college where he tackled the running back and the quarterback in an option?
I don't recall the play, but I can imagine.
Yeah, they're in gun. He breaks through immediately. He tackles both of them while the ball's being handed off.
Well, he practices with knives.
Exactly.
Have y'all seen that?
I have seen that. It's wild.
That'll do it right there. Mm-hmm. My two was both of y'all's guys' three. Nolan Smith, like I just said a while ago, he's a hybrid like a player. You know, he's more of an edge, but I think he could step out and play linebacker if he needed to. He's been a big contributor last two national championship teams, so that's always a plus. Another thing I like about him other than football is if you watch his interviews and teams from the NFL have been talking, he's aced the interviews. He's really like a leader. Like, he's a really good leader.
Right.
And I think that'll, transfer over to the NFL as well. One interesting thing about him, because, I think he, obviously he's had really good production. Mm-hmm. The last couple of seasons, he's only had 876 snaps compared to Will Anderson, who's had over 2,200.
Wow.
Miles Murphy and Tyree Wilson have both had over 1,500.
Wow.
So, he's been in for only about half of the snaps that Miles Murphy and Tyree Wilson have, and a significant less amount than Will Anderson, almost in like one-third of it. So, I don't think he's actually shown everything he can do.
Yeah.
I think when he gets in the NFL, I think he will bulk up. Maybe he's like, what is he, 238?
238.
I mean, I think he could play at 245, 250.
That'd be high end.
But I think he could.
I'd agree.
Yeah, I think he'd get the 250 play. And like I said, he's 238, but he plays really, really, really strong.
Right.
And he's still really fast. So
absolutely.
Yeah, I think he'll pop in the NFL.
I do want to say before we go to the next one about Nolan Smith, I didn't mention this when I was talking about him, but compared to other guys in this draft, when it comes to edge rushers, I think most pro guys can tell you that ankle bend is very important when it comes to the pass rush.
Right.
And a lot of these guys really don't have it, but Nolan Smith is one of the guys that does have it.
He's got it. His is great. He's got the best.
He has really good bend. And, again, that's a very underrated trait when it comes to scouting these guys. But, yeah.
He fits your bendy profile.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big bendy profile. Anyway, going to Elliot. I believe.
Yeah, so my number two, which I'm assuming is going to be the same as yours when we get to yours, Tyree Wilson.
Yeah.
Second best production score out of everyone. So his was at 91 out of the 99 to 100 scale.
Right.
And he's a bit of a tackling machine, when you look at his stats, especially the past couple seasons. 2021, he was 25 solos, 12 assists, so 37 total. But then in 2022, had 36 solos, 25 assists, so 61 total, and also had 7 sacks each season. So,
wow.
Bit of a measure of consistency, especially over the past two seasons. He's going to pan out to be great. I agree with everything that Adrian said. Not going to discount anything. He's going to be a great player.
Right. I'm glad you're really going in depth on the numbers I'm glad we've also had the same pick multiple times, because that means you can give the numbers and I can give what I've seen on film.
Right.
Yeah, we colluded before the
exactly.
Show.
We did. We wanted
once
to
again
embarrass Adrian.
That's fine.
That's actually why I did the hand thing earlier. I didn't have
Nick Herbig in my top four.
Adrian wins this round, unfortunately. Yes. Oh man, but yeah, I'm gonna talk a little bit about Tyree Wilson. Just in terms of guys that jump off the tape, he is one of them. When you see him on the field, he looks like LeBron playing football, essentially.
The way he moves at his size,
it's unreal.
It's crazy.
It doesn't make sense. He's even bigger than Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah,
and he's faster, and he's got excuse me, very long arms, 35 and a half. That's long arms for an edge in the league. So very solid run defender. My only drawbacks for him, again, when you see him playing, obviously it's straight bull rush moves, because that's exactly what he is. I mean, he's 6'6", 271. That's all he needs to succeed against a lot of these guys. But yeah, the only things I would take back are the lack of finesse moves and the lack of bend, because it's also saying he doesn't quite have like some of these other guys do. But
it'd be hard to do that at that size.
Exactly.
If he was doing that, he'd be the number one guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Guys can still succeed in the league at that size without, you know, that crazy high bend. So that's why he's at my two. But
he might, contrary to what we've been saying, he might lose a couple lbs. He might lose some weight. Not a lot, but like, you know.
Yeah.
He might get
leaner. Yeah.
He could afford it, man. But I mean, at the same time, though, I mean, that is a strong dude when you're watching him play.
He's a big guy.
Heavily depends on where he goes. It depends on how somebody's going to want to use him.
They've got him from the guys we've been naming, and we'll get to this. Obviously, we all have Will Anderson at number one. Him, Nolan Smith, Tyree Wilson, and I had him four. I don't know if y'all agree with this. I think Miles Murphy's first round, though, don't you think?
I know there's a lot of mocks with him going to the first round. I think it's going to depend on position and need. Do teams value edge that much? If enough are taken off the board, then yes.
Yeah.
I think those are – I don't think more than four guys – because I think those top three guys are going first round for sure.
Yeah.
And then maybe one other guy. Maybe it's not Murphy, but maybe one other guy in general.
Yeah. I'm not super sure he goes
– first round?
First round.
He was really high for a while, and then he kind of slipped. Because at one point he was, like, top 10, which I thought was high, but, like, he's kind of slipped now.
Yeah. I don't dislike him as a prospect. Obviously, like we've said a million times, this class is just super deep, so I don't want my honorable mention of him to be a knock. But I don't think he's going to quite fit the first round for me personally.
Yeah, it'll be close. It'll be bottom half.
He might be, and this is just a thrown-out prediction. We haven't done our mock draft talk yet, but I think if the Steelers are in the market for an edge rusher at pick 32, that might be a very plausible selection. So
that's
like
fair.
Right there, edge of the first round, beginning
of like
the second.
Usually first round, second round this year.
I didn't realize this. Are the Steelers at 32?
Yes.
I did not realize that.
That would be the pick that we got for Chase Claypool. Thank you, Chicago. True.
What first round pick did they have?
They got 17.
Okay.
Wow. That's a trade.
With that, obviously, I'll go ahead and state it. We all have Will Anderson number one.
Nope.
Back-to-back Nagurski winner, which is basically, for people that don't know, the Heisman of defensive players in college football.
Right.
It's a shame that defensive players aren't really up for the Heisman, because if they were, Will Anderson would have won the Heisman in 2021.
He should have been nominated that year.
Dude, he didn't even go. He finished sixth.
It's the same with, like, MVP in the NFL, right? You know, like,
it's usually
always a quarterback or something, or some offensive player.
Yeah.
It's so hard for a defensive player.
I honestly thought, and this is, like, just kind of getting off track, just say this real quick. I thought the last 2 years the NFL MVP was a receiver. I thought it was Kupp the year they won the Super Bowl, and I thought it was Jefferson this season.
Right. It's kind of tough to – again, it's so arbitrary when it comes to the MVP and the Heisman.
Yeah.
Because if you want to use the measurement of it being the most valuable player, I think the Heisman is the most outstanding player.
Most outstanding player.
I believe that's how it's like actually defined. If it was most outstanding player, then Caleb Williams is not the Heisman winner.
No.
You know what I mean?
I actually hated the Caleb Williams Heisman pick. I thought that was like a gross.
Thought it should have been Duggan.
I
thought it should have been Duggan. I mean, if you look at, look, he had some great playmakers, but he took that team to the championship, bro. And you could tell in the championship game that they were very, like, they weren't a championship level team. Who'd you think it was?
Yeah, but my only problem with that is that Max Duggan did not look like a championship level player in that game at all.
Okay.
That's
a fair
argument.
Exactly. Their whole team looked like bums in that game, be fair.
That's fair. No, that's fair. And again, it's hard to not root for that story that TCU had. But
who'd you think it was, just side note, for this past season?
For this past season, I was obviously guessing Caleb Williams before.
Right.
If you're asking me about a prediction, obviously it would have been Caleb Williams because he was the –
he was going to win it.
He was going to win it. He was
popularity contest.
What? I'm sorry?
Popularity contest.
No. Oh, yeah. I thought you were naming another random name, and it was going to make my day if it was some random guy that should have the Heisman. But yeah, I think if I was choosing most outstanding player,
it would have been Bryce, really.
This past year, probably not Bryce.
My personal pick would have been Stetson Bennett. I think that after the last two seasons, how he's also been like the most valuable player like for his team. He's made the plays when they've mattered most in those crucial moments in like the championship games and everything. Like he won the best offensive player all four bowl games that they went, right? And he didn't get any credit
playoffs,
for any like that.
No, I agree.
As much as I may not be a Georgia fan, because I'm not, okay?
Completely agree. Very underrated.
Stetson Bennett got super, super screwed on the Heisman thing. Both years, really.
A little bit. I don't know if I can support the take of him being the most valuable player on Georgia. I don't think that's something I can back at all.
Nah, I wouldn't agree with
that. That's fair.
I would say I could probably list a lot of guys, probably. I mean, defensively, for sure.
Brock Bowers is the best player on Georgia.
He's the best player on that team, confidently.
Georgia's most important player is Kirby Smart, okay? It's Kirby Smart.
It's actually Glenn Campbell.
That's
interesting. That's an interesting one. I actually do kind of want to talk about it a little bit more after break.
Yeah.
But for now, we're going to go to break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and I do really want to continue this conversation. But for now, we will see you guys in a few minutes.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back once again after a little short break. Again, I did want to keep talking about our discussion on the Heisman Trophy because I do think that's pretty interesting thing to talk about in college football today. Elliot, I believe the last thing you said was Stetson Bennett should have won the Heisman.
Can you go a little bit more in depth on that? I think and like the Heisman, like, you have to kind of consider everything. And obviously I'm not discounting that Caleb Williams like played like an unbelievable season. That has nothing to do because how many yards did you say you throw for? Like
4,500 yards, 42 touchdowns, and 5 picks. It was 4,500.
Oh, 4,500? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like that is incredible. But like at the end of the day, right, in my opinion, and maybe I'm a little bit biased because I'm not a huge fan of the way that NIL has kind of shaped the landscape of college football.
Right.
I thought that the whole like scorched earth policy on OU moving to USC was kind of, I thought it was a little bit of a cheap maneuver. And they kind of built like their equivalent of like what they thought was like an NIL super team over there at USC.
Right.
And whenever it mattered most, they couldn't get the job done. They lost to Utah both times that they had their opportunity to beat them.
They did. Right. Well, that second time he did get hurt in that game. But they still got smashed.
They blew it. Okay. Like they blew their shot to get into the playoff because they were in at one point and then they lost to Utah.
Yeah.
Again.
It would have been Georgia versus USC, which would have been. That would have been something to see.
Yeah, and instead, fun. USC really got fun. The pleasure of losing to Tulane. So, in my opinion, Stetson Bennett, whenever it mattered most, he did not falter. I think that he deserved it. Maybe not from a statistical point of view, but maybe like the intangible point of view. He willed his team to the back-to-back championships and winning the best offensive player for his team all four bowl games.
Okay, that makes sense, but I think, you know, the obvious easy argument with that is, I mean, dude, let's just be completely honest. If you put Caleb Williams on Georgia and you put
what Georgia does to every other college football team in the nation.
It would be like, and I get your point as far as like he showed up. I think obviously he has better coach. I think Munkin was probably I won't say better OC because Riley's calling their plays, but still Munkin was a really good OC. He was just Stetson Bennett with the team he has. His job is to not turn the ball over. You know what I mean?
He's a great player.
That's all he's asked to do.
That's kind of the same thing with USC. When they built their little NIL like farm over there, right? I mean, they gave Williams what he needed. They poached Jordan Addison, who was the former Biletnikoff winner, right? They gave him the same job.
I would agree offensively, but what does USC have defensively? He's got to score almost every possession. When Stetson Bennett cannot score for 8 possessions in a row, and the game will still be tied.
I do want to talk about the showing up aspect of Stetson Bennett's thing. Now, I kept a very close thing on – or I kept a very close eye on Georgia because, again, I'm from Georgia. I have a lot of friends that root for that team. So, and I really wanted to lose all year. I'm not going to lie to you.
Me too.
But with Stetson Bennett, you know, they scraped out a win against Mizzou.
I watched that game. That was ugly. What was it? 26-22. I watched that game.
And in that game, he was 24 for 43. Still had 312 yards, so you know you can't knock that too much. But he didn't throw any touchdowns. I mean, I would consider that a bad game. And if I'm going to guess, the thing that got them out of that game was a combination of the run game, Brock Bowers, and the defense. which is what wins them most games.
Brock Bowers also might be the best player in the nation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he really might be.
He really might
be.
And
this past season included.
And the secondary thing is you can make the argument of showing up in games and not showing up in games when the stats are close, but they are simply not. Caleb Williams threw for 4,500 yards, which is 400 yards more than Stetson Bennett. He threw 42 touchdowns, which I believe is 15 more than Stetson Bennett did at 27. And he threw 5 picks with, again, I don't know how many attempts it is. But
this is with a game less.
Exactly. Which I'm not going to take that into account too
much. Yeah, those stats are hard to compare to, which I do get, but still.
Exactly. But throwing 27 touchdowns and that fewer yards and more picks, you simply can't argue that.
I said during the break, this is switching positions. I thought that Blake Corum, had he have not got hurt, that what was it, the 11th game of the season,
right,
that he might have ended up winning the Heisman. He finished 7th, and he missed the Ohio State game, which was obviously – what would that end up being, 2 versus 3, 3 versus 4?
Something like that.
So that's – and then obviously the Big Ten Championship. If you just take into account – for the stats that Donovan Edwards, who was the replacement for Corum, had, and you add those to Corum, you just say he does exactly what he does in the Ohio State game.
Right.
Then before the playoffs, Corum ends the season with 1,864 yards and 21 rushing touchdowns. And with those two highlight games with Ohio State and then the Big Ten Championship, I want to say they play Purdue, right?
Yes, I believe so.
If he has those two highlight games to end the season on top of his other body of work for the rest of the season, I think he might – especially with Caleb Williams losing to Utah the last game.
Right, absolutely.
I think that Corum actually – I take it back what I said about Duggan, who I thought Duggan still had a good argument. I think Corum probably would have won the Heisman, deservedly so.
I would agree. I really like Blake Corum a lot.
Yeah, and he's back.
Yeah, he is back.
He's back with J.J. McCarthy, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess my thing is, like, the competition – like, let's be honest with ourselves here. The SEC football competition is a lot stiffer than the Pac-12.
A lot.
Competition, right?
Right.
So when I look at some of, like, the games that are played, yes, they didn't have a great game against Mizzou, okay? Maybe Mizzou is not one of the better football programs in the SEC.
All right.
But whenever you're, like, week in, week out, and you're playing teams like Alabama, you got to play Tennessee, and you got to play all these super good teams, and I'm watching, like, Caleb Williams in the Pac-12, he's, like, eking out wins against Oregon State.
Is that a city I don't know about?
Where is Oregon?
Or could that
Oregon State, Oregon
Maybe
State. How,
state
you know what? However
Oregon.
You want to say it, okay? But he's like scraping out wins.
See, you
I'm pretty sure
together,
Oregon.
You were putting together a pretty good argument right there until you said Oregon State. You
I'm
just
pretty
saved
sure
me.
My bad.
Oregon
my bad. That's
State's
what,
a community college in Georgia.
All right, fine. Oregon State, okay? Oregon State, he's eking out wins against like Cal and like – I don't know. And then the minute that they play the what would be the stiff competition in their division, the Pac-12, Utah, they can't
lose
get the job
twice.
Done.
That's a fair argument.
They lose twice. Not just once, but twice. And they
and
got shellacked the second time. That's even close.
Look, I'll play devil's advocate. One thing that's – it's kind of hard to compare these two guys' stats because one guy plays for Lincoln Riley and the other guy plays for Kirby Smart.
Right.
And I know stats are always, like, going to be a big factor, but naturally, like, I think even if Caleb Williams played, like, at Georgia this year, I think he would have threw more than Stetson Bennett did, but I don't think he would have matched his total that he did for USC, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
their stats are never going to align because of the way the offenses are ran and the head coaches.
Exactly, and that's kind of how it should be because
right.
When you have guys like this, Caleb Williams is a guy that you want to design an offense around.
Right.
But Stetson Bennett is not a guy you want to design
not
an offense
all.
Around, and that's why Kirby Smart doesn't do that.
No, that's probably
you know what
a
mean?
Fair point. Their offense would probably look different
exactly.
with Caleb Williams.
So, like, the argument of, like, oh, he – you know, he played here and he got less numbers, and which is what he said, not what you said. So it's what Adrian said. So, but that's kind of just part of how it is. That's just,
based on that player.
Exactly. That's just how
that's
it
fair.
Goes. And that's always taken into account for every draft process.
A la Jalen Milroe, Bryce Young.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand the competition aspect of it. But again, Caleb Williams is the heart and soul of that USC defense or offense, excuse me, and threw for 15 more touchdowns and less interceptions. I don't I really do understand, and I honestly would agree that Stetson Bennett is underrated because of, you know, whether it's the size and it's just
what
all
round does he get picked in?
Stetson Bennett?
Third, fourth.
I'm going to go fourth. That was mine.
I would say fourth. Yeah.
Fourth is probably mine. And I really do think, you know, the combine and stuff helped him out a lot. Like, obviously the main doubts were his athletic profile and, you know, him being able to be a serious athlete at the next level. But he obviously proved that he could do that. But, yeah. Anyway, I feel pretty good about it. Is there anything else you want to add on to the Heisman argument?
I had something. I was going to talk about next year's Heisman, actually.
Oh, I like that.
Do y'all have any early? I mean, obviously,
Caleb Williams.
I was going to say, obviously, Caleb Williams is probably like
Drake May.
The easy
pick. They're going to do a LeBron thing where they don't want to give it to him twice in a row, and I think it's going to be Drake May.
That, and I'm going to actually completely. I was going to say that if they don't give it to Caleb Williams, it's going to be it's going to wind up being, because people were pounding the table for Drake May to be in that top three Heisman consideration this past season.
I think
Drake May's legit, man.
I think if you say Drake May, you almost got to put him in the playoffs. Like, I think it'd be really tough for a North Carolina QB to win the Heisman and their team not make the playoffs.
Does it expand next year?
No, it's a year after.
It's the year after.
Do you agree?
It's going to be tough.
Would y'all agree? Like, it'd be tough for him to win it and they'd not be – unless he just has this crazy season and he's just far and away the guy, and then they still have, like, a 10-2 season and when a couple games they lose but he, like, balled out.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really tough.
My only problem with it is that – because of this past year, UNC had a horrific defense. Their defense was unbelievably bad. They played a game against, like, I think App State that was like in the 50s, and I think they may have barely won, or App State may have won. But that's
I think
one of
they
those
did
things,
lose that game.
That's what I'm saying. I think App State snuck out a win, and it was in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
It was something unreal. And for that reason, I think it's kind of tough to, you know. Obviously, there is something to be said for, you know, being in a winning program, especially being the quarterback of a winning program, like Elliot was saying. But, you know, I think he's gonna put up the numbers, like you were saying, to justify being that level without being in the playoffs. Because I really don't see UNC being the playoffs.
Well, so, like, Caleb Williams wins the Heisman. They're not in the playoffs. But, like, they're really close. They're, like, right on the doorstep, right? How close does North Carolina have to be to get to that point? Because, like, he can have that incredible season, but let's say they finish with, like, a losing record.
A losing record?
I don't think they'll finish with a losing record.
Like 5-7 losing record?
Well, maybe. Or like, let's say they finish with a barely above 500 record or something, right?
He ain't winning the Heisman if they do that. He could throw 80 touchdowns. They'd be 7-5. Yeah. I don't think he'll win.
But, the thing is, though, I think they're still going to be like a, what, 3-4 win team probably end of the year. I don't think it's going to be playoffs, but I think they're probably
going to
Wait,
who are we talking about? North Carolina?
Yeah.
They're going to be a what team?
3-4 loss team. Did I
say
three
or four
I thought you said 3-4 win.
I thought you said 3-4 win.
I think I honestly did say
I was about to say a 3-4 win in the playoffs is crazy.
You have their schedule put up?
Yeah, see, like, I'm looking at their schedule, and, like, there's a couple games on here, and I'm like, they're going to have a bit of a rough time.
I think they'll be a 3-4
They got South Carolina.
They got Clemson every year.
They have at Clemson, actually.
South Carolina may be a powerhouse next year, man.
Yeah, South Carolina.
So South Carolina.
That end of the season
Rattler.
Rattler's a sleeper pick.
Yeah.
If he plays like he did at the end of the season, not OU Rattler.
What
not
a college OU. Career that would be.
That
if he,
would be
what,
wild. Because this is his fifth year.
Or is it his fourth?
No, that's fourth.
I think this is his fifth.
It very well could be fifth.
I don't know if he redshirted and then.
I'm not sure.
Well, he sat behind Jalen Hurts for a season.
He
and
did?
Then he, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You're totally right. Then.
Yeah.
So he's definitely 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, so like they're tough games. Like, so South Carolina, maybe App State, they did a number on A&M. So like, you never know, right?
Dude, you actually don't. App State's a decent program.
Yeah. Doesn't Minnesota have a pretty decent
PJ
defense?
PJ Fleck.
Yeah. I'm not going to say I'm too worried about
Minnesota.
I wouldn't say
I'm worried about Minnesota. But. They do have to play at Pitt, which could. It could be tough. Now Pitt doesn't have a tendency to at Pitt would be difficult.
That is a genuine like thing that I believe in. It's just funny. It's funny looking at you say
it's
they do have to play at Pitt. So
yeah. Syracuse, I'm not really worried about. Miami, I'm also not really worried about. Virginia, I'm also not really at Georgia Tech. No. Campbell, no.
Campbell.
Duke, I mean, maybe. Not
maybe,
really. That may
not.
Be one of those like you play like a bad game, like a Georgia versus Mizzou type or something. But then their last two games at Clemson, at NC State.
Yeah.
I think that's an awful end.
It's going to be a wild ending to the season.
I think he's a fair pick, but I don't know if he'll have the win totals. I was looking at a couple guys that or sleepers in the SEC that aren't, I mean, they are big programs, but they haven't, you know, Tennessee, which they're a big program. They haven't won anything significant in the last however many years.
Yeah.
Joe Milton.
Joe Milton's
a big guy. The dude's like, whenever they would throw Hail Marys this last season, like at the end of the half, they'd bring him in to throw it rather than Hendon Hooker.
That guy would have, if he came in the league right now, he'd have top five throw power.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He's kind of like the Anthony Richardson maybe of next year's draft as far as like
– He's not – I don't think he's quite as athletic.
No, he's not. But, yeah. But I'm talking about from – you know, he's that same standpoint.
Super freak arm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like – for real. I think that Joe Milton, if they expand on that offense with Heupel, I want to say this is his third season.
Yeah.
Last year was his second season, and they won the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
So – and he Milton started that game
the
with
actual,
Hooker.
The actual – like right. the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, versus yeah. Clemson.
he was at Michigan before, right?
He was at Michigan. Yeah, he transferred from Michigan. So yeah. I think him, if they expand on the offense, another guy, I don't think they will have the win total. If Ole Miss could win 10 games, Quinshon Judkins, their running back.
Yeah, he's.
I thought you were about to say like Jackson Dart.
No, absolutely not.
I love Quinshon Judkins.
Quinshon Judkins is going to be the number.
I can't believe we let him just slip away. Wasn't he like in Alabama?
He was an Alabama
That's
guy.
Right. Yeah, he was in Alabama like, yeah. high school.
I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick.
How do you feel about Blake Corum being in that? He's coming back. Do you think he can do it again?
He's coming back. It'll be hard to match what he did last year.
Yeah.
Teams will be more prepped for him. Donovan Edwards, I think this season they will run more of a two back.
They'll move to the committee instead of power like a workhorse
yeah.
back.
And I think he's still the number one guy. But, I mean, especially how Donovan Edwards ended the year, like we said, against Ohio State.
Yeah.
He had the game in the Big Ten Championship. I think he won the MVP for that game.
Yeah.
And then he also had a good game against CCU in the playoff game. So, I don't think he'll get cast away to the bench like he did this past season.
That is kind of interesting because if I'm in Blake Corum's position and I will get drafted if I go into the draft,
yeah.
you know, it won't be as high as it could have been.
But you're guaranteeing that it's pretty high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't you think, like, I would probably have the conversation with my coach of like, hey, you know, I do kind of want to come back, but it's worth talking about, you know, obviously Donovan Edwards had a couple great
right.
games. How does that impact my role on this team?
I think that's one of those factors now that you have to take NIL in consideration because,
yeah.
like, he's coming off
money.
He's coming off an injury. If he goes to NFL, he probably, I mean, like, wherever he gets drafted, he probably would still make more money in the NFL, but he might not play as much his first year.
Yeah.
When he could come back to college, and even with the other guy, he's probably going to play more this season
yeah.
than he would in the league, and mm-hmm. he'll still be making money.
Yeah.
So
I will say, though, in the NFL, most teams are moving towards a running back committee type of team,
sure.
right? So I don't really think that him splitting carries hurts him. If anything, that might help because they're like,
that's fair.
Less wear and tear on him. Even though he is post-injury, that means that there's less he just got beat up a little bit less like coming back after an injury. So like,
that's fair.
I don't know if that really impacts it that much.
Yeah.
Long story short, I don't think he went to Heisman.
That's fair.
Whoever Ohio State's quarterback is. No, real. All right, before we go, Marvin Harrison Jr. could win the Heisman.
He'll be the Biletnikoff winner.
Because he could have a
right.
Smitty-like year because Smitty.
Really good chance he does.
His quarterback wasn't hyped up. Their quarterback will be a new guy. So if
yeah.
he has a season on top of last year, he could win
so
it.
So is Marvin Harrison Jr. a lock for the Biletnikoff, though, you think?
He's winning the Biletnikoff.
Lock.
Lock.
No doubt. I don't care
lock.
What happens.
Send
if
it.
He does not get injured, he's winning the
Biletnikoff. He's
Biletnikoff.
The best receiver
here.
In college football right now as it stands.
Maybe
the
best player.
The draft.
He might be the best player.
Arguable.
Yeah.
Arguable. But, yeah. Anyway, with that, I think we're all pretty much wrapped up. Is there anything you guys want to add before we head out
before
of
here? Before we go, I just want to make sure that we all had Will Anderson 1. I know we did. I just want to give him a little shine. He's probably been talked about enough the last couple of years. We
yeah.
didn't really highlight him like we were going to. Kind of got to talk about
absolutely.
How Stetson Bennett was the Heisman winner and stuff like
we
that.
We did. But, yeah. So, in a good summary of the show, Will Anderson is the best edge in college football.
Will Anderson.
And the best
Will Anderson.
Edge prospect in the draft. But
going
yeah.
third overall, maybe?
Yeah.
Probably 3.
Probably.
That's my guess.
More than likely 3.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will see you back next week.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.